أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر
المنافقين إن شاء
الله كان غفورا رحيما ليجزي الله الصادقين بصدقهم ويعذب المنافقين إن شاء صدق الله العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسماء والطارق وما أدراك ما الطارق النجم الثاقب إن كل نفس لما عليها حافظ فلينظر الإنسان مما خلق خلق من ماء دافق يخرج من بين الصلب والترائب إنه على رجعه لقادر يوم تبلى السرائر فما له من قوة ولا ناصر والسماء ذات الرجع والأرض ذات الصدع إنه لقول فصل وما هو بالهزل إنهم يكيدون كيدا وأكيد كيدا فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم رويدا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم وأما إن كان من أصحاب اليمين فسلام لك من أصحاب اليمين وأما إن كان من المكذبين الضالين فنزل من حميم وتصلية جحيم إن هذا لهو حق اليقين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم. صدق الله العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث.
Is also one of the sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make someone read the Quran Sharif and listen to the recitation. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina al-mustafa صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. سيد إن الله التواب الرحيم. صدق الله العظيم. In this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ. Stay away from much zan, suspicion. Because some suspicion is sin. Person has a lot of suspicion, a lot of doubts about somebody, and many, many things that appear in newspapers and many stories that person hears, then he begins to become convinced that what he has heard is the truth.
without verifying, justifying the person now believes in it. And in the meantime is becoming guilty of a very major sin. Now there is a whole subject about zan and about suspicion and all the rest of it. But the purpose of reciting this verse is that what I want to discuss now is that this zan is something that's got to do with the person's mind. It is something that has got to do with the person's mind, because you will be thinking in your mind and suspecting. You must understand that to deal cautiously is not only permissible, it is essential. We will say that how do we then deal? Because you mustn't suspect anybody, you must trust everybody. So these days you get master crooks, just as you get master currencies, you get master crooks too. The currency of these masters is to crook people. So how are you going to then just accept a person on face value when you are told that you mustn't suspect? So to deal cautiously is something different. That a person has come is a stranger, or he is somebody from whose appearance you get the impression that this person doesn't look very reliable. So then without believing, without firmly believing that he is so, you deal cautiously. That is not only permissible, it is essential. Look at Sharia. It doesn't give you some kind of a hukam that you can't make amal on. Because otherwise the person will say, now how do you make amal on this hukam? Then it will mean anybody comes and says, look, give me a loan of 10,000 rands, and tomorrow I will give it to you. So you must give it away, because every person is honest. Ashraf, boy, have I. So all this has got to do with the mind, that the person thinks in his mind. So I want to connect this with what I want to discuss now. عقل کی بزرگی انصاف سے ہے اگر انصاف نہ ہو تو خواہشوں کے فریب سے جو نفس اس کے سامنے پیش کرتا رہتا ہے مغلوب ہو جاتی ہے. All these thoughts which come up in a person's mind, he becomes overpowered by that. Just like how in those cases, now that person truly begins to suspect and believe that that person is an evil person, or he's like this or he's like that. So in the same way, this khahishat of the nafs, it all arises in the mind of the person, in the heart of the person, mind of the person, whatever you can take, it arises. And then this person becomes overpowered by those khahishat. This is the major disease. It's a sickness which we all suffer from, that these desires, this khahishat, it arises in the form of thoughts in the mind. First there are thoughts. Those thoughts come. Now the person starts giving importance to those thoughts. He begins to accommodate that thought. He begins to feel comfortable with those thoughts. In other words, he begins to believe that those thoughts which have arisen in his mind are indeed very pleasing. It is going to bring him a lot of happiness and joy. And then he becomes overpowered. Then he doesn't look at what is halal, haram, because he has become overpowered. Isme ye batlaya gaya hai ki ahlullah se uqala ko faiz pahunchta hai aur aqil wo hai jo har baat ko insaaf ki nazar se dekhe. Muanid aur had daram aqil nahi, uski aqal khwahish e nafs se maghloob hai. So the aqil person is who looks at everything in a balanced way and makes insaaf with every thought that arises in his heart. That whether this is something that he must pursue or he must not. That is the person who is an aqil. And he looks at everything with an open mind. That he does not become overpowered by his passions. Passions are what Allah Ta'ala has created in man for a valid reason. But then this person does not become overpowered by these passions. Now this is something that is very common with youth and with everyone these days, that when these thoughts arise in the person's mind, so now he gives a kind of preference to these ideas and thoughts over the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He does not make insaf, as we discussed the other night about adl, that here this person doesn't make insaf, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one who has given him his health, his wealth, his sight, his hearing, his speech. So now it is not befitting of him, it is not right of him, it is not correct that he should be giving preference to his own passions over the desires of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But when this aqal becomes maghloob, when the person's aqal becomes overpowered by these passions, so then he loses control of justice and adl. سمجھ کی خوبی تسلیم و انقیاد سے ہے ورنہ خود رائی کی غلام ہوگی بےہودہ حرص اور غلط آرزو کا سر توڑنے والی اللہ کی حد ہے. The only thing that can crush the head of these evil passions and desires is the boundaries and limitations that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has placed. Whatever limitations Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has placed, then the person regards that as an electric fence to the animals. To the animals, they have electrified fences. Or even for burglars, they have in many homes electrified fences. I'm just giving you an explanation that these electrified fences, why are they put there? So that the person does not go beyond that. If it's an animal, then you do not want it to come out of that pen or out of that area in which it has been herded. So you put those electrified fences. And for burglars also, you don't want them to come inside. So the person puts these fences. So the fences are what we term as the hudud. Now in this world, when they have such kind of things which prevents a person from going further than that, because he says, now that's the boundary. If I'm going to hit that boundary wall now, then I will crack my skull, or I will get a shock if it is electrified. So the person doesn't go beyond that. And not only doesn't go beyond that, but he doesn't even go near it. If a person knows that it is electrified and it is switched on, so he won't even go near it. He will stay a little distance away from it, because he knows the consequences of going there. So in the same way, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created this universe, and he created everything for our use, but there are certain things which he has restricted us from making use of. He placed certain boundary lines, tilka hududullah, those are the boundary walls of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now a person should not go beyond that. So the only thing that can crush this person's evil kaish and desire is that boundary. That if he has recognized that boundary and he knows that going beyond that is going to lead him into great amount of problem in this world too and in the akhirat too. Because the sins bring an immediate problem in this world, and then in the akhirat endless problem. So if this person realizes that and he uses his aqal, and he does not allow his aqal and intelligence to be overpowered by his passions, so then he will remain away from those sins. People keep saying, how do we stay away from sins? How do we stay away from sins? That's how we stay away, that first we recognize the hudud, the boundaries. In the masjid, in atikaf now, you are told that that is the hudud, that is the boundary. Now the person, if he is overpowered by his passions, then for example, if a dastarkhan is laid there and there's some jalebi and halwa and custard and faluda there, now if this person becomes overpowered by his passions, then he'll say, I'm making iftar in the masjid here with khajur, with date and water, and outside there I can see some very tempting and mouth-watering delicacies. So therefore let me cross that boundary wall and go that side. So what's going to happen? His etikaf will be nullified. He will be sinful. So when he's entering into the masjid, the first thing he asks for is, what is the boundary wall? Same thing when we are buying homes. The person says, first establish the boundary wall. Which is the boundary? Boundary line they want to establish. So that I don't build on the other person's property. so that I don't encroach onto the other person's property. So they establish a boundary. In farmlands, there's a boundary. Municipalities, they have their boundaries. Countries, they have their borders. Sometimes just for that 1 inch of land, wars have been waged. Haven't wars been waged for just 1 meter of ground? In courts, how many battles are fought for just 1 meter of ground, or even half a meter, and sometimes even just a few inches, and the person says, no, but this is my boundary, and he encroached onto it. So in everything there is a boundary, in everything there is a border. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has also got hudud, he's got the boundaries. Tilka hududullah. And that person is the intelligent person who remains within the boundaries. When it comes to marriage, there are borders, there are boundaries. That you can marry so and so, you can marry so and so. These are the women that you can marry. And these are the women that you cannot marry. When it comes to intermingling, when it comes to mahram, ghair mahram, there are boundaries that up to a certain extent you can go, you can't go beyond that. In eating and drinking, Allah Ta'ala has got His boundaries. That you can eat certain types of foods, you cannot eat pork and you cannot drink wine. So there are boundaries everywhere Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has placed, and those are all for our benefit. It is for our good. It's got nothing to do with benefiting Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in any way. If we remain within those borders and within those boundaries, then we ourselves will be the beneficiaries. So the person of Aqal, he first determines what are the boundaries that Allah Ta'ala has placed. And then he makes amal. He doesn't go beyond that. Just as in this i'tikaf, you don't go beyond that. In jhooti umeedon aur galat aarzoon ki jad wo wasawis wo khayalat hai jo insaan ke zehen ko in lazzaton ke sochne mein dal dete hain jinse nafs mazay leta hai aur maddah shahwat ko farhat hoti hai us waqt phir himmat jawab de deti hai. Jhooti umeedon galat aarzoon ki jad wasawis hai, false hopes and false expectations, they all are based on this wasawis. That when the person becomes greedy, when he gets hirs of fulfillment of passions, so then first of all those ideas start taking root in the person's mind. First thing happens is first the idea comes up in the mind. All those people who commit zina, or whether they steal, or whether they commit fraud, or whether they indulge in any other kind of sin, then it's not that they just fall into the sin. First the intention comes, the idea comes, the thought comes, the wasawis comes. And majority of the time it is built up over a period of time. That first there will be just slight whisperings. Now this person gave in to that, then it will go further, further until he gets caught and trapped in the actual sin. So this fantasizing is something that we have to get to the root of. That before it arises, we must nip it in the bud. And if it just comes, then just let the thought pass by. And immediately occupy the mind in something else. We say it's difficult, indeed it is sometimes difficult. But it is not impossible. If something was impossible, Allah Ta'ala won't make it farz or wajib. We will say that it is difficult sometimes. But it is not impossible to stay away from those sins. The person must not allow those wasawis to get a foothold, must not allow them to take root. As they come, let them pass by. Straight away talk to some friend, read some book, occupy your mind in anything which requires some kind of mental gymnastics. So then you will forget that those thoughts. If not, then this person will become a ghulam and a slave of his passions. And when he becomes a slave of his passions, then his life will become very miserable. He will have no peace after that. No matter how much he fulfills those evil passions and desires, the desire will increase more and more and more until he becomes a nervous wreck. Many of them have ended in asylums, and many of them have ended up taking all kinds of drugs after that to satisfy that craze. And even those drugs fail after a period of time. Then when they are gone too far and they realize that we have gone off track, and they decide to come back, in the meantime the health is damaged, the person's memory is gone, the person's body is in pains, is suffering different kinds of diseases, and all kinds of things have already happened. Now Allah Ta'ala will forgive the sin. When the person is making tawbah and istighfar, Allah Ta'ala will forgive the sin. But the forgiveness of the sin doesn't mean that automatically all that loss of wealth and health and everything will come right. What if a person has already spent hundreds of thousands of rands on his bad habits? Some people are spending 20,000, 30,000 a month on drugs. 20 to 30,000 a month on drugs. So now do you think that this money, you can get it back? یہ سوچ بچار ارادے کو کھینچ کر آگے بڑھا دیتی ہے تو انسان اغراض نفسانی اور شہوات لایانی کے دشوار میدانوں میں گھس جاتا ہے. These thoughts, when those seeds start germinating, then slowly, slowly they take root, and then this person gets involved in such kind of sins which it becomes very difficult for him to come out from, because he didn't nip it in the bud in the early stages. Again, that beautiful example it is of Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh, no matter how many times we repeat it, says that the person planted a tree, thorn tree he planted. On the pavement he planted a thorn tree. Now the people that were going, the thorn tree was causing them injury and pain. So they asked him to remove it. So he says, tomorrow. He says, remove it, he says, tomorrow. He kept on saying, tomorrow, tomorrow. In the meantime, the tree started growing bigger and bigger and bigger. And the roots start going deeper and deeper and deeper. Then they reported it to the municipality that this person has got a tree which is causing injury to the passers-by. So ask him to remove it. So the municipality ordered him to remove it. If not, he's going to be fined or imprisoned. So now this person decided to remove it. So when he went to see or look at the tree now, the roots had gone very, very deep, and the tree had gone very big, and it was not possible for him to uproot it now with his hands. It was very difficult now, because he had gone old, feeble and weak, and the tree had grown very strong. So the only way now he can uproot the tree is to bring some bulldozer. And dig deep into the ground and take out the roots. But now that will take a lot of time, it will involve a lot of money, and sometimes it is very difficult. So if this person had taken it off on the first day, the second day, the tenth day, it would have been easy, because it was still not yet deep in the ground. All he had to do is just hold it and pluck it out, finish. That's how easy it was. But by saying tomorrow, 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 what happened? It went away deep. And his age caught up. Now from this example, he gives us a lesson. That this is our condition. That whenever we hear that must give up sins and get connected with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then the desire comes in the heart. But together with that comes the whisperings of shaitan. What's the hurry? There's still plenty of time. You're still young. Not today. Tomorrow you can do it. I'm not yet ready for tawbah. You can make it later. And let me just commit adultery or fornication a few more times. After that I will give it up. Let me just go to the casino for a little more time, and after that I'll give it up. whatever bad habit he has got, whatever haram he is indulging in, then he procrastinates. He says, tomorrow. That tomorrow I will give it up. Tomorrow I will give it up. Now what is happening in the meantime is that the roots of that habit are going deep into the heart. The roots are going very deep into the heart. And this person's himmat is now failing because of his age, because of his circumstances, and because of that overpowering of those passions now. Now his himmat is failing. Now when he looks at those sins, it seems like it's impossible to give it up. Because now he is seeing the roots gone very deep. So he looks at his habits and he says, well, look, now if for example it is drugs and he's already gone on to ecstasy and cocaine and rock and all those drugs, now he looks at that and he says, but I require every day this drug, otherwise I can't even think properly. How am I going to give it up? So he listens to the bayan, he wants to give it up, but he doesn't have the himmat now, because he delayed it far too long. The same with the person who is deeply involved now with that illicit beloved of his, where he was SMSing her and phoning her and writing to her and doing everything over a period of time. Now he believes that I can't give it up, how can I give it up now? The person who was taking interest in building up his properties and buying big cars, so now he thinks that I made so much and so long I have been taking, now how do I return this money? Because we heard that you have to return the money. If it was just tawbah in the masjid, it was okay, acceptable. I should have just made some tawbah and finished. But we heard Maulana say that, no, that's not sufficient. Now you must look for those people that you took interest from and go and return it to them. So you say, how am I going to find all these people? And even if I find them, now it's very difficult. I mean, all these properties I have to start selling if I have to pay them back. One person once came here from one other country across our borders some years ago, and I was having tafsir at that time. So it was coincidental. In fact, nothing is coincidental. Allah Ta'ala wanted to make it the means of his hidayats. So on that night, I happened to be discussing the ayats of riba and interest. And I went into the detailed discussion of that, and I explained that those who have been taking interest, then they must repay the interest. Pay it back to those people that they have taken from. And how Allah Ta'ala can give barakat in a small business, even if the person has got one, instead of having one dozen big ones. So I was explaining all that, and I didn't even know who was sitting there, but in any case, that was the end of the tafsir. And 1 year later, or almost 2 years later, about 2 years later, one of the Maghrib namazes, a person was introduced to me, Maulana, this person is so and so. And he was like the real money lender of our country across the borders. I'm not mentioning any names. So he says he was like a famous money lender. And most of our Muslims used to borrow from him on interest. And he has a lot of properties because he used to charge a lot of interest. They say he happened to come here about 2 years ago and he sat in your tafsir and he's got a story to tell you now. So at that time we didn't have this office and all that. This was just this masjid area. So we went to the corner there. I thought he's got some problem. So he tells me, he says, Maulana, when I went back, he says, I heard so many bayans on riba, interest and whatnot. They in our masjid too, he says, our imams give bayans. But I don't know what made me come there that night, and I heard your talk, and he says, that's the place I made tawbah, that I don't want to take any more interest. And I want to do what Maulana has said, to repay everybody. And prove for myself what he is saying, that Allah Ta'ala, how he gives barakat and all that, when you do away with all these things. So he says, I went back and I took out all my old books and checked whoever I could have traced from whom I had taken interest. He says, it ran into hundreds of thousands. And then I looked at my assets, property here, property in London, property there. Most of them have their properties in London. Investments they had mostly in London. And some Swiss bank and wherever they used to invest, because there's a multi-rich, big business tycoon. So he says, I looked at my assets and I looked at all the monies that I had taken from people. So the majority of my income was from that same haram interest. But I made up my mind that I want to pay back to whomsoever, whatever is due, as you always say. So he said, I've sold this property, I sold that, I brought some money away from London, and I started giving everybody back their monies. Some non-Muslims also that I had charged interest, I started refunding. So they thought Christmas came early this time. They heard of Christmas fathers coming in Christmas time, but they must have thought that Christmas came early. And especially for a person like him who was taking, now he's giving. So this must be something unusual. Either he's not right in his head or... But they must have prayed that if he's not right in his head, he must remain like that. Because if he comes right, he might take it away again. Nevertheless, he says, I started paying everybody. And they were surprised too that they were getting their monies back. And so he said, my business is reduced. I sold away some businesses and whatnot. And then I kept one. One business. He says, Alhamdulillah, within 1 year's time, everybody's payments were made. Within 1 year's time, he says, selling, bringing the money away from England, and whatever shares he had, and whatever it must have been, all his assets. He said, by paying back in 1 year's time, to the best of his knowledge, everything was paid out. He says, but Maulana, believe me that in the 1 year after that, in that small business, or that one business that I started running, Allah Ta'ala gave me so much of barakah, that it's unbelievable, he says. I'm almost again there, of whatever I had given away, I return, he says, Allah Ta'ala gave me all that back, in a halal way. Such deals I clicked, he said, in my import, export and all that, that I never had such kind of deals in my life. All my deals were generally in this interest type of things. But he says, now, the deals were such that as if they were just pouring down. He said, now look at Allah Ta'ala, how he made it the means of hidayat for someone. But to uproot that tree was difficult. I mean, if he had just looked at the amount that he has to pay back, and then look at the properties that have to be sold to pay back, then he would have given up hope. If he didn't have that himmat, then you would have said, now it's very difficult. Yes, if in the early stages when I had taken interest to the extent of, say, 500 rand, 10,000 rand or 20,000 rand, it was easy from my business, I would have paid it off. But here to pay back hundreds of thousands, and which involved the selling of properties, he said that was something that was beyond my imagination, that I could have achieved it. He said, I don't know, Maulana, I think all that is attributed to your majlis that I attended. I said, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make you sadqah jariyah for me, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make you an example for others. But this is the reality. I mean, people, they don't know. But this is exactly what happens when the person makes the himmat and goes ahead in the fulfillment of Allah ta'ala's command. So what I was saying is that the person, in that example, Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali, he's trying to convey this message to us, that when you are in the early stages of sin, that is the time that you must take the himmat and get rid of that sin. If not, it is going to take root, it's going to go deeper and deeper. And all this will start with, it starts with fantasizing. It starts with the person's imagination and thoughts and ideas and whisperings of shaitan into his heart, that the person gets caught up in these type of evils. And then when they take root and they go deep into the ground, deep into the recesses of his heart, now he hears some bayan, so the desire comes that he wants to give it up, but he can't seem to give it up. Then this person, all life he will keep saying, but I can't give it up, but I can't give it up. Why you cannot give it up? It's because it has become a habit. I try, but I cannot. So we must not allow it to reach that stage. And even if it has reached that stage, the person must not despair, especially in this month of Ramadan. If the person really begs of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for a cure to that, Allah ta'ala will give it to you. So procrastination and delaying in tawbah, it is actually a whispering of shaitan. that not today, tomorrow, not today, tomorrow. Person has this, the feeling or the desire, but he doesn't want to do it now. He wants to wait for a later date, later time. So whenever a good thought and a good desire comes into the heart, then don't delay in the fulfillment of that good intention and desire. Because it is not necessary that that will remain again for over a period of time. Sometimes a person gets a very good desire, a good idea, and something noble in the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But then again, when will he do it? Tomorrow. When will he do it? Next week. And sometimes it's the same with the sins also. That it's a noble idea, it's a very good idea and intention that I want to give it up. But when? Now that is where the question mark comes. Hazrat Maulana Hakim Ahmad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, my Shaykh and Murshid. Again, those three simple questions that he asks in layman's language. The kamal of the awliya-e kiram is that they talk to us in our language. They don't talk philosophy to us. Because what is essential is islah of the nafs. What is the sense of giving a very powerful, flowery speech which people will make wah-wah over? But no islah is made of anybody. At the most, they say the dynamic speaker. But sometimes the dynamic speaker hasn't even got a beard. His pants is flowing below his ankles. He's wearing clothes also where you can't recognize him that he's a Muslim too. We see so many of those dynamic speakers in America, in England and other places, even here in South Africa. So is that what Islam and Sharia was all about? Dynamic speech. It was for Islam. So now look at the three simple questions. Guna achi cheez hai ya buri cheez hai? Guna and sin, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Now for a Muslim, can he ever answer that guna is a good thing? Na'uzubillah. No matter how weak that Muslim, but if you have to ask a question like that, that are sins good or bad? So the obvious reply is guna buri cheez hai, it's a bad thing. So if something is bad, then should you do it or should you give it up? Agar buri cheez hai, to buri cheez ko karna chahiye ke chhodna chahiye? If somebody says this is poison, then should you drink poison or leave out poison? I mean, if you say that this is poison, then if I ask a question that poison should be drunk or poison should be avoided, the answer would be that poison should be avoided. So in the same way, say guna achi cheez hai ya buri cheez hai? Say buri cheez hai. So buri cheez karni chahiye ya chhodni chahiye? Say buri cheez ko chhodna chahiye. Obvious answer that you have to give it up. Anything that is bad must be given up. So then he says, buri cheez ko agar chhodna chahiye, to kab chhodna chahiye? Maut se pehle ya maut ke baad? I mean, you are giving the answer that it is bad and it should be given up. So now this, again, a very simple question. No philosophy involved. No dictionaries required to check up the meanings of the words. No attorneys and advocates required to give counsel and advice on what answer should I give. Does a person require an advocate now to reply to that question? Or engage a senior counsel? That a very difficult question has been asked. So what must I reply? Because I don't want to get caught up. Simple question. When should it be given up? Before death or after death? That's all. Ask these three simple questions to ourselves. Whenever we are tempted with any evil and haram, then ask ourselves that question. Or if we're in a habit, bad habit, somebody is in the habit of gambling, somebody in the habit of fornication, somebody in the habit of masturbation, somebody in the habit of something else. So the person must ask himself this question, that these bad habits must be given up or they must be engaged in. And if they must be given up, then when? Before death or after death? So if they have to be given up before death, then the fourth question, then when is that death going to come? If it has to be given up before death, not after death. After death, even the disbeliever is not going to make kufr. And even the person who was addicted to all those vices, he too is not going to be committing any kind of sin. After death, which person commits sins? So if it has to be given up before death, so then when will this death come? So again, you don't require senior counsel, don't require any advocate to answer that when will death come. Who knows when death will come? Nobody knows. So when we do not know when it will come, then it means the time to give it up is now. Immediate. A Muslim doesn't say that, inshallah, I will decide to give it up. Inshallah means if Allah wills, then I will give it up. That means Allah Ta'ala is willing that you carry on with it. Nauzubillah. One night in my majlis when I said this, one Maulana Sahab was sitting here, he says, Maulana, ajeeb baat kahi aapne. I said, yeah, it just came to my mind that those people who say, inshallah, I will give it up, it means that Allah Ta'ala is not willing that you give it up. At present you carry on because Allah Ta'ala's wish and will is that you carry on. Nauzubillah. And when Allah will will, then I will give it up. Yes, we should say, I gave it up now. But make dua that Allah Ta'ala give me istiqamat on that. Inshallah, I hope to have istiqamat. Let me stay firm on it. And there you ask that Allah Ta'ala must will, Allah Ta'ala must wish, and Allah Ta'ala must make it such that we remain firm and steadfast on the tawbah. But as far as the tawbah itself is concerned, we mustn't say, inshallah, I will make tawbah. So inshallah, when will we make tawbah? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal. May Allah ta'ala make us benefit the maximum from the remaining hours of Ramadan which are left. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا